This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All of this by way of Palestine that Allah purifies with. It's Al-Quds. This is the essence of Al-Quds. Al-Quds is one of the names of Jerusalem, a name that uncovers one of the greatest roles that Allah has appointed for Palestine. Though Al-Quds is in reference to Jerusalem, but the word itself is in reference to sanctity or purity. The Arabs, they use the word qadas in reference to the bucket that is used for purification. The Quran has a similar usage of the word, where the angels said to Allah, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We glorify you with your praise, and we sanctify for you. نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We purify ourselves for you. Having understood why it is called Al-Quds, you've also understood one of the primary roles that Allah has allocated for Palestine. It is a place of purification. One, a purifier for believers, a reason why prophets and the devout Muslims throughout history have been drawn there for worship, seeking purification and renewal. There's another vital aspect to its purifying nature. It acts as a sieve against arrogance and tyranny. In Al-Quds, oppression does not live long on its soils, and it finds no lasting foothold. As Khuraym ibn Fatik, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once stated that أهل الشام سوط الله في الأرض ينتقم بهم ممن يشاء كيف يشاء. The people of Al-Sham are the whip of Allah on earth. He avenges through them whoever he wills and however he wills. I mean, think about it. I take you through a quick tour of history. The formidable Christian crusader armies that once had occupied many territories of the Levant, Al-Sham region, with Guy de Lusignan reigning as the King of Jerusalem. His forces were finally defeated by Salah ad-Din and his Ayyubi army in a historic battle in 1187, which immediately opened the path to Jerusalem. The name of that battle is Hittin, and the name of its venue was Palestine. Then, not long after these events, you had the fierce warriors who swept out of Mongolia, laying waste to every city that refused to surrender or even did surrender, and led by Genghis Khan in 1227 and his successors, the Mongols ruled most of modern-day Russia, China, Korea, Southeast Asia, Persia, India, the Middle East. Their bloody conquest had pivotal consequences for world geography and culture and history, with many of these after effects continuing to reverberate to the present. Then you had Hulagu, the grandson of Genghis Khan, who continued this destruction in 1260 and unleashed their fury against Baghdad, the capital of the Muslim Ummah at the time. They breached its walls. They murdered and pillaged for weeks. And some estimates say that as many as 1,800,000 Muslims were killed just in Baghdad. The whole Islamic world trembled in fear of the Mongols. For the first time since the very early stages of Islam, at the time of Badr, there was a real fear that Islam and Muslims could be wiped off the face of the earth. But subhanAllah, just 2 years later, an inconceivable event took place. Against all of the odds, a threatening Mongol advance towards Egypt was firmly halted at the hands of Saif ad-Din Qutuz and his Mamluk army. The invaders were defeated. The whole of the world sighed in relief and stood in awe at the remarkable achievement of these noble sons of Islam with this victory. Another layer of graves of enemies that was added to the soil of this blessed region of Al-Sham. The name of the military encounter is the Battle of Ain Jalut, and the venue was none other than Palestine. A quick footnote, interestingly, the very first Mongolian force that the Muslims crushed en route to Ain Jalut was in Gaza. Then centuries later, you had Napoleon Bonaparte's formidable Republican army that would wreak havoc in Europe and in the Middle East in a bid for global supremacy. He captured Egypt, and then determined to further his rapid conquest of Ottoman territories, Napoleon advanced eastward and he laid siege to the strategic city of Akka in 1799. But led by Ahmed al-Jazzar, the defending Ottoman forces were resilient throughout the siege. And against all of the odds, they forced Napoleon to withdraw from the region with shame, with humiliation. And not only was Napoleon defeated, The French emperor lost half of his troops during the stiff two-month battle. The name of the encounter is the Siege of Akka, and the venue, again, was none other than Palestine. From now and into the future, Palestine will keep cleansing itself from harm, and it will root out injustice, and it will humble the oppressors. This ongoing role will reach a pinnacle at the end of time, which will culminate with the return of Prophet Isa, the son of Mary, the true Messiah. And Jesus will confront the Dajjal, known as the Antichrist, or the false Messiah. And in this decisive encounter, Jesus, alayhi salam, will chase down this enemy of Allah and will confront him at the eastern gate of Lud or Lidda. And upon seeing Isa, the Dajjal will begin to melt like salt dissolves in water. And he would vanish entirely if left alone. But instead, he will meet his end at the hands of Prophet Isa, where he will raise the spear to show the blood of the Dajjal, the blood of a man who claimed to be God. And finally, his reign of disbelief and terror will come to an end, marking the end of the greatest test to humanity. And its venue will be none other than Palestine. The snapshot that you just heard is not surprising for the Holy Land and for Jerusalem, because the Arabic term for Jerusalem, Al-Quds, shares its roots with Allah's name, Al-Quddus, which embodies the essence of purity. So Jerusalem stands not just as a symbol of purity, but also serves as a powerful force in cleansing the region from impurity. Whether it's against political oppression, religious division, moral deterioration, Jerusalem is a beacon, purifying the area and preparing its defenders for significant roles and setting the stage for pivotal global events. Time and time again, the Ummah weakens and quietens, and we ask, has the Ummah died? Then an event takes place in Palestine, and the Ummah awakens, and we are reminded that we do have a pulse, and our heart is beating. All of this by way of Palestine that Allah purifies with. It's Al-Quds. This is the essence of Al-Quds. As much as we call upon freedom for Palestine, we should realize with its purifying role just how much Palestine has and will continue to free us.